I always call it, I said, kiss it. Keep it simple, short. I understand that once you lose their attention, you lost it. Because they want you to come and do the job. They don't want to hear your whole life story, right?
You're listening to Business Edge, the podcast for professionals looking to excel in their industry. We'll interview new guests each week, diving deep into their personal and professional experiences to give you a jumpstart on your journey. This podcast is recorded by Desiree Williams and Chrissy Vasquez at the Alpha Kappa Psi Professional Business Fraternity Headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Business Edge. My name's Desiree Williams.
Hey, I'm Chrissy Vasquez.
Thanks for joining us today. We are going to be talking all about job hunting and how to make a great first impression, listing some tips and tricks for you on your journey. We will be joined by Elizabeth Price. She's a talent acquisition specialist advisor at GDIT. So Elizabeth, I'll kind of toss it to you to tell us a little bit more about yourself and kind of your career journey so far.
Okay, well, ladies, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk to everyone today. I originally started off as many in IT as a career choice. And then as I continued on with my studies, I recognized that I talk too much to sit behind a desk, right? So I decided that do that one thing. Do what you love, the money will come and your gift will make room for you. So I did a double master's in educational leadership and human resources. I was in labor relations at the very beginning of my career and realized I didn't want to fire people. I wanted to hire them. So I decided that recruiting would be the one area for me that I would expand in and actually fulfill my personal desire to always want to help and serve. So I've now been in HR for over 20 years. I've been doing recruiting for the last about 9 or 10. I currently have been with General Dynamics Information Technology, short version GDIT, for almost 9 months now. So thank you so much again.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you have any fun facts that you'd like us to know that maybe we can't find on your resume?
Let's see. I always share this one tidbit. I come from a very large family, and some people may know the golden number, but let's just say it's above 20, but less than 25, right? On my resume, you probably see I'm a native of Michigan. But other than that, I'm about the same height as Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth. We say it's about the same height. I just don't have her hat and her money at this time, but I'm working hard. But other than that, it's not much. Not much. I'm an open book.
Growing in that large of a family, what was that like?
It's so funny because I'm still processing me meeting siblings, right? No, it was actually good. I'm a tomboy at heart, so that's one thing people would not know. Of course, when I stand in front of people and present, they usually see the well-polished individual. I love makeup and everything like everyone else. But I also like fixing cars, changing tires, and you would never expect that coming from me, right? But it was good. It was different. I have a broad perspective, and actually that has helped me, believe it or not, in my current role, because you understand everyone's perspective and that everyone has a voice, right? And so having so many siblings, I tend to have the patience of, I wouldn't say a saint because I'm not that good, right? But I do have a high tolerance and I'm very empathetic. So that has actually brought into it. And of course, for me, I love family. Family is very important. So I love to travel. So that's something else you want to say on my resume. I love to travel and spend quality time.
So today's episode is about job hunting and kind of the interview process and, you know, how to get that started, how to kickstart it and really excel in that process. And so, Elizabeth, kind of thinking back to when you were going through that, what would you say you were most confused or worried about starting out?
You know, when I first started out, I wish someone would have told me one thing: to be humble, even during an interviewing process. And that may sound odd, but literally I was interviewing fresh out of college. I did all the interview prep questions. I did the mock interviews maybe two or three times. I was an overkill, right? Had the resume, was dressed, had the firm handshake. But the humility within the interviewing process was something that no one told me about. And some people may say, well, what does that mean? You can be confident, but also be humble. Mm-hmm. So one interview, I found out later because the VP of that organization became one of my mentors. he told me, you interviewed well, but you came off as arrogant.
Oh, wow.
I was hurt at first, right? Mm-hmm. And he sat down. He said, well, let me explain to you. He said, sometimes, and often this happens to many, your confidence is perceived by others as if you're unteachable, that you know everything. And that's not the case, right? Because we're trained to give the firm handshake, eye contact, and I need you to keep that, stay and continue to do that. But in that interviewing process, sometimes allow them to lead the discussion and you respond. And when you give the information, even in that communication, I call it the nonverbal communication, make sure it's not so aggressive, but a humility tone to it so they can still understand that you have the knowledge, but you're still teachable, you're still trainable, and that you're not out to get their job, even though your goal in long term may be to have that role, right? But you don't want that to be the initial reaction to it. And I was amazed. He was very candid and honest with me, and that's one thing I try to be now, is that transparency is key. Because if you know, you do better, right? When you know better, you do better. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I wasn't aware. I thought, again, my confidence was great, but it was offensive to the individual that was interviewing me because I wasn't humble.
That's a great point, too, to think about in your responses. How can you demonstrate that you're coachable in your responses and your answers as well? So that's a great point. Can you tell us maybe the top five things you see people do wrong? Let's start with, you know, kind of getting those out in the open. Here's some things that people are doing wrong, and then we can kind of jump into how people can turn those into opportunities.
Oh, you just answered some key things that peeve in mind. The first thing that I think, let me give you the quick, the resume and the cover letter.
Okay.
The phone screen. And I'll go into depth with each one. I'll go in more detail with each one, but I just want to give you the top five. The resume and cover letter, the phone screening, the thank you, which includes for me, the follow-up is all in one. When you actually attend the interview and the preparedness of it. And my pet peeve or my top five, negotiating the salary. Okay. Now, these are key things, and let me explain to you why. Oftentimes now, before you get to the hiring managers, and some people maybe often are fortunate enough to actually have the hiring manager call them personally. That's rare. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes you have three degrees of separation. You have a human resource coordinator that's going to source through the resumes, probably help. But usually you have that recruiter that's going to call you first. But the only way they're going to call you is if your resume is reflecting what's truly on that job description. So a couple things that people need to consider when they're doing a resume. What format works best for your experience? And the reason that I highlight that is that if you're fresh out of college, this is the first time you're actually going to be applying for an opportunity, but you have volunteer experience that's going to add to that role, you need to be able to communicate that where it is noticeable for the person reviewing your resume. Why am I pointing that out? It wouldn't be good if you have no experience to put a chronicle resume, because that highlights all of your experience, right?
Yeah.
Also, it's not good to have, I'll call it the federal lineup, which is similar to chronicle but more detailed, if you don't have the experience to line up with that. So it's okay to go online to do sample resumes for recent graduates to find out which one speaks to your skill set so it can highlight your skill set. So when you're doing the resume, for the students, when you're doing the resume, look at that job description and be transparent with yourself. Do you or do you not have the required skills for that job? If you do, then great. Let's revise the resume to reflect that, to highlight some of these things. I always tell people the one site that should be your best friend is O-Net. O-Net is just a resource that we use that will give you the details of the job description or the duties of the job that you may not have even realized that you forgot to do. So always have O-Net in the back of your mind to use. But moving forward with the resume. Now, when you have the resume, whatever cover letter for that particular job needs to mirror the resume as you're reflecting on the job. So if you're going to give it a good example, if you're going to a party, you know, one is a black tie, the other one is jeans only. Right? You're not going to go to the jeans only event in a black tie dress or black tie attire, right?
Very true.
You want to dress the car, right? So for that resume and cover letter for that particular job, you need to make sure it matches the job description. Now, if you're on Indeed or these other sites, you just want a simple resume that's going to highlight just your key points of what your strengths are, then yes, do something simple. But when you're looking at these positions, please make sure it makes sense.
Are you kind of a proponent of changing your resume and cover letter with each application?
Absolutely. And the reason that I'm saying that.
So few people do that, and that is so important. Even when you're not in your first job search, your whole life, your resume cover letter needs to do that.
It is. When some people don't understand why, and let me be honest with you, it's not often you're actually the only percentage of the resumes that are going to be reviewed. Within the first 24 to 48 hours of a job posting, the top 10% is what we're going to look at. Those are the people that apply to it within the first 24 hours, okay? Depending on what the position is, if it's a real high-profile position and you know a lot of people are going to apply, it's very easy to go through and screen the resumes. I personally go through every resume. Some people don't. Some people literally go by the applicant tracking system, which gives a percentage to how that resume matches to the job description. Mm-hmm. So that's why I recommend make sure if you have the skill set and you're comparing it to that job description that you pull out those key things so you can reach that top 10%.
Well, you're talking about the resume. The other thing I've heard from some recruiters is just how important LinkedIn plays to that. And since so many applications, so many jobs now you can apply through LinkedIn, it's so important for your profile to be built out, similar to your resume with the things that you've done, not just the job title. Do you agree with that?
I do. And another thing, and I'm so glad you brought up LinkedIn, because oftentimes people keep LinkedIn brief and to the point, but your LinkedIn profile needs to reflect your resume as well. You don't have to put all of the details on your LinkedIn. And the reason that I'm saying that, when people are actually reviewing your LinkedIn, you can just have the title. Until you accept them as a friend, then they will have the details for each role. But when you're given the details of each role, you just need to do a quick summary of that position. But when they actually have your hardcover resume, it's going to give the details. Because you don't want your LinkedIn profile to be so long, but you want to be able to reflect your resume, but just give them a snapshot.
Right. Great tips.
Now, the second thing, outside of the resume, now you've actually got our attention and we're on the telephone. I literally had a gentleman, I think I shared this with someone last week, he made it to the phone screen. I asked him a couple questions, what made him apply for the opportunity. I always call it the what and why, right? What caught your attention and why are you looking? His answer to me was, because you posted a position. And it popped up, so I applied.
Wow.
I said, oh, okay. So maybe he just had a bad day. Let me continue on.
Yeah. I'm impressed he made it through the screen the first way.
Right. I said, okay, everyone does, you know, warm up. So I warmed him up a little bit, and I asked him more questions. And I asked him, you know, as far as his skill set and how he felt comfortable about the opportunity and what he was looking for. He said, well, yeah. And exactly what I just said, well, yeah. As we were doing the phone screen. So I asked him what he knew about the company. He said nothing. He said, I don't. Tell me. I said, okay, this isn't going well.
You're giving me heartburn. I'm getting heartburn listening to this story.
So it's just, you know, unfortunately, that's just what transpired. And then when I asked him, I said, well, do you have any questions for me? And he basically said, no, what's the next step in getting on with this organization?
Wow.
I said, okay. And I explained what the next steps were. And he said, okay, thank you. And hung up. Oh. Now, that's what you don't do.
It's a lot of red flags.
That doesn't happen. Right. I was amazed. You don't do that often, right?
You but do have patience to sit through that call.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, listen, this is the one thing that as a recruiter, right, a talent acquisition advisor, you're basically the pipeline between the hiring manager and this person. You are advising the managers what they should do and who they should select. Right? Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure as y'all are having, as the team is having a conversation to what it is that manager needs, they are trusting you, right? To take the stress off of them. They know what they like, they don't like, you know, their personality. They know what the needs of the client is, what the hour. They're giving you all the tools to be successful to go out there and, hey, give me some great people. That's your role, right? So you're the salesperson for the team, also for the person that's applying. So we had to, you know, bring these two together. It's like a perfect relationship, right? You have your personal relationships and your working relationship, and you want them to gel. So I had an excellent one, which I still think about these three people, and this is just recently. They called just to check in and say, hey, how you doing, Elizabeth? And it was a stellar interview. They were nervous at first, but as you can see, I'm one of those very unique recruiters, right? Very unique HR people. So I give that disclaimer every time. And the interview, they were nervous at first. They said, you know, you make this very relaxed. I said, well, I want to be able to have a conversation so I can understand what your needs are as well. So if you don't know, and I appreciate the transparency, if they said, you know, I just saw the position. I know a little about the organization from what I review on the website, but can you give me more information that may not be on the site? And I said, absolutely. And that literally gives that recruiter the idea that you're interested. This mm-hmm. is a different approach. I call it the positive end of the recruiting aspect, right? So we went through, had the candid conversation, and as you're sharing the information about the organization, and if the person is taking notes, then you're giving them everything that they ask for. You need to be able to get the benefits overview, what the schedule is like, what the temperature, I call it the temperature, the climate of that particular team they would be mm-hmm. applying for, you know, giving a full range of the organization. Why should they choose your company? After that, the person literally was excited, started telling me about their skills, how we matched this role, what their ideas were, what their goals were. So in answering those questions, guess what? They answered all the questions that my managers needed, too. Mm-hmm. So it ended up being a great conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And so we had the dialogue, and literally it only took 15 minutes.
I think you brought up
15 minutes. Go for it.
I was going to say, you brought up a good point, too, that this is a two-way interview. So I think a lot of times people forget that they're also interviewing the company to make sure it's a good fit for them.
Right, and that's your opportunity. When you have that recruiter on the phone, if no one has ever said this, if you have that recruiter on the phone and you know it's not often you actually get a live person, if it's any notes you think you're interested in, and if you find in the midst of that interview that position may not work, ask them about other opportunities. Let them know that you're engaged, because that recruiter is going to remember your name. And if another opportunity comes on their desk, guess who they're going to reach out to?
Great point.
Yeah, I think that might scare some people, that they don't feel like they can ask about other opportunities if that one, you know, falls through. So that's a great
advice. I never thought about
a great
that.
Tip.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely, because it's about the relationship. And when you're connecting with that recruiter, it's about the relationship. So how you seal that relationship and they'll always remember you is that thank you. I literally went to the office because I work 100% remotely from home. I literally went to the office this week to pick up a thank you card that was sent to me from one of the applicants. I thought that was very sweet. And mm-hmm. it wasn't a computer generated. It was a personal mm-hmm. handwritten, which a lot of people don't do.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick. What's the difference, in your opinion, of email versus handwritten cards? I've been in some processes where I don't have enough turnaround time to be able to get a card in the mail. So I've done an email and then sometimes followed up with a card. What's your thoughts on all that?
Okay. So this is what I will say. After the interview, you thank them. As soon as the interview is over, you send a quick email. Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody should have a deck of thank you cards, whether it's some that just have the blank inside, if it's a position that you're really, really hungry for. And when I say hungry, one that you can even see yourself doing lunch at that office. That's mm-hmm. why I say hungry, right? Now, if it's a position, you know, absolutely. If you know that this is the position you want, that's the one you take the time out to do the handwritten as well.
Got it.
That's after the face-to-face. The telephone screening, if you know it's going to be virtual and you may never meet the person, then absolutely send it in the mail, right? But as soon as you hang up from that phone while it's fresh in your mind, send a quick email that lets them know that you're on it, right? Now, if you're going for a third, fourth interview, or if you know you're going to be hired, or if you're going for face-to-face, then yes, do the handwritten.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I know you mentioned salary negotiations earlier, and that's a big topic. You've actually done a webinar for AKSI about that. So do you want to tell us a little bit more about that, some tips and advice, because that's a pretty daunting task, I think, for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Now, before we get to negotiating, there's a part to it, too, that ties in and that will help your negotiation. It's the attire when you're actually doing the interview, when you actually go for the interview.
Mm-hmm.
when you go for the interview, the first thing that people always see, not just your shoes, you know, people always say they look at your shoes first, right? Is that wonderful eye contact. And the first thing that they're going to smell other than your cologne is your oral hygiene, right? So, and those are key things people are going to remember. And remember that everyone has allergies, like we were just discussing at the beginning of this podcast, allergy season, right? So even if you're wearing a cologne or perfume, make sure it's light or soft. If all else fails, just have your deodorant. And you should be just fine. But that is key, too. Your presentation, when you're first going in for the negotiation, let's say the negotiations, again, a lot of oftentimes, because everything is virtual, everything is over the telephone. And this is why it's so key when you're doing the research before the phone interview, okay, that you already understand about the company, or after that phone interview, you should have understanding of the company. But for the position, you already need to do your research beforehand. Look at the area, because location matters. You would be paid totally different in North Carolina and Mississippi than you would be here in Washington, D.C. and Virginia. Okay? So you can go to Glassdoor, do your research beforehand, because you don't want to lowball yourself. So some tips for negotiation, as you said, is do your research. Research the salary, location. And doing your research, I always share with people even on the webinar, the one that we do, the training, negotiating your first salary, is knowing the location and the cost of living. Understand what that budget looks like. Your budget should be your housing, what utility is going to take care for that housing, the food, because you have to eat, transportation, whether you're going to have a car, you're going to do the metro, what does that look like? Your internet, if you're going to be working remotely from home or just using your laptop, period, and your cell phone service. Now, as far as cable, people stream a lot. You may never be home, so why waste the money on that, right? But those are the basics of it. But your benefits also is something you have to start considering. What does that look like? If you know you like to travel and you understand that you have to start saving, you need to make sure considering that in your budget. Also, what it will cost for your student loans if you should have any. So these are all the things you should know your number, know your price. And the reason I'm saying know your price, you're not just working to live. So don't just put a dollar that's just going to take care of your living expenses. You also have to take care of all your other things that makes it a well-balanced life, right?
Right.
So know that before you go to that interview. Understand what that job entails. Because let's be honest, as a recruiter, if you're telling me, you know what, Elizabeth, I have, let me give you this. Let's say you're not an entry or first-time student going for your first recent graduate. Let's say that you're seasoned professional. And you're going in for a promotion. You're looking for opportunity that's going to increase your career, right? Take you to the whole another level. I need you to price what it is if you have a clearance already. A secret is, it takes a long time to get a secret and a top secret now. So you can add at least $20,000, $30,000 to that, depending on what the role is and depending on the location and depending on your skill set and what it is you're going to be doing. So know your worth. Know what that entails, okay? So when you're going into this particular position, let's say I have a position in North Carolina. North Carolina, this particular role, even with a clearance, only pays $70,000. If you were to take this same position and have it in Virginia or D.C., that position would pay $125,000.
Wow, that's crazy.
Just why on is location. It a difference, depending on
your cost of living.
Location. And the client, and also the scarcity of that particular skill set. And you just have to know those things. So those are key things in regards to negotiating your first salary, understanding what your budget is, what your bottom line is, and understanding what you're going to walk away from. Because not only are you looking at that cost, if you like to travel, you want to know what is your vacation, what's your PTO, how much time do you get off, do you have short term, do you have long term. You know, what's the cost of the benefits? You need to know all of these things. So these are key things you can ask when you're interviewing just to get an understanding. You already know what the average would be to live there, right? So you want to know what are the perks? What are the perks? What makes your organization so unique? Of course, don't say what makes your organization so unique. No, don't say that. But do ask the question. Can you give me, or are you allowed to at this time, to give me a summary of what benefits you have or what your benefit package looks like. If you know you're looking to go back to school, are they paying for tuition reimbursement? If you know you have different certifications that you need to be, you know, active at all times, or if you know there are certain organizations and memberships that you want to be a part of, do they pay for that? Ask these questions. And then I help you with the numbers. So let's say you knock the phone screen out of the park. They schedule you for your face-to-face. You go in, you're smelling great, and your communication is even better, right? You have the eye contact, the firm handshake. You do a wonderful job at being humble in the interviewing, the asking the questions, taking notes. Ask, of course, during the interview, is it okay if I take notes? And that's, people don't ask, but that speaks volumes.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Because you're paying attention to the detail, okay? And in the interview, have that eye contact. And another thing that will help going back to that interviewing process before we get into the salary, the body language. The verbal and the nonverbal speaks volumes.
So when would you suggest having those conversations about salary and benefits? Is that during the phone screen, or is that when you get through to the next step and in person?
No, actually, when the recruiter asks, do you have any questions for me? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ask if it's okay if you can get a brief overview of what the benefit package looks like. Mm. At that time, they're not going to give you the cost.
Right.
You just want to know what do you offer? And that's free. You can ask that. That allows the recruiter to really see that you're serious.
Mm-hmm.
When you take the time to research your organization and you get this recruiter on the phone, understand that may be your only shot.
Hmm.
When you're going to the interview face-to-face and they ask you if you have any questions, or when you're having this, what we call it, the STAR system, situation, task, action, results, mm-hmm. behavior-based interviewing,
mm-hmm.
when you're giving the different examples, I need you to be able to tell the story, highlight your skill sets, and be able to walk through what it requires for the daily duties of that job description, right? You know, sometimes when you go through a job description, it tells you what the tasks are. In your mind, you should already know how all of your skill sets match through it. So as you're giving the examples need to be able to pull out some of the key things that's required for that job. So that's what they're doing when they're actually interviewing you, is checking off, can you do these things? So the examples that you're giving as you're face-to-face, it needs to go through them. Not you reading the paper doing it, because you should already be prepared, because you know what this role and the duties do
mm-hmm.
or require of you. But you have to be able to sell it to yourself. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is that you know for yourself, in the core of who you are, that you can do this job, you meet the skill set, so you can tell the story and sell them and show them why you are the person. Versus you reading a piece of paper and saying, yeah, I could do this. Yeah, now who's going to hire a, yeah, I could do this?
I like that, right? You said story, like storytelling. I think that's something that a lot of people don't think about as an interview skill, really. Being able to say, you know, the whole story of what happened versus, yeah, I did that.
And saying it in a concise ways, though. I've heard a lot of people just go too far into it that they don't, you know.
Yeah, right. That's true.
So it's finding the balance.
I always call it, I say, kiss it. Keep it simple, short.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple, short. I understand that once you lose their attention, you lost it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they want you to come and do the job. They don't want to hear your whole life story, right?
And so during that initial phone screen with you, what are maybe some core, like 3 to 5 core values or traits that you're really looking for in those interviewees to kind of take them to the next level?
I want to really understand the passion. And believe it or not, I'm going to give you a little tidbit. When you're interviewing, and this is a phone screening, I want you to get up before you actually get on the phone and answer that phone. Look yourself in the mirror. I don't care how your day was. I need you to put a smile on your face because a person can hear it through the phone,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And I remember an executive when I was working at General Motors, the VP said that she had a mirror right on her desk. I was thinking to myself, is this lady like vain? But no, that wasn't the situation, right? She understood that what you see in the mirror is what people hear on the phone. Some people say, how is that possible? Trust and believe. If a person's having a bad day and they're frowning, you can hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't hear the enthusiastic. You don't hear the passion. You hear the, this person's in a bad mood. You don't want that, right? So before you get on that phone, I need to hear that you're excited, that you're ready. You're taking the time out, because our time is precious, right? Time is money. So time is precious. That you're taking the time out of your day to talk to me is important. So I'm going to give you your uninvited attention. So that's key for me. You knowing the organization is not as key, because I can share that with you. But understanding your what the position is and how your skill set matches is my number two.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say that's number one. No, I need you to understand that's number two for me. And why is number two and not number one? Oftentimes, some people don't realize it's not always on the resume all the things you do that may attract you even more to this position until you have the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So once you have that conversation, you can dig in a little deeper and find out if there's anything additional that may not be written that you may actually highlight and can be beneficial for you as well.
Well, as we kind of get into wrapping up here, are there any other, you know, tips or pieces of advice that can kind of help our audience begin their search?
I will say this. Be honest with yourself. When you're looking for the position, be honest and really know what you're willing to do, okay? If you know that you really don't want to work in this field, and this is a position or a job, you're finishing this degree just because your parents said, listen, you're going to graduate in this degree, but you know you're really not happy. Before you take up someone's time, do an internship or externship to see if you really want to do it. And during that time, and the reason I say externship, because sometimes after graduation, you still don't know if this is what you really want to do. Mm-hmm. So do an externship. It's just an internship after graduation. And if you find for those couple months that you really don't want to do it, or you really found that I really do like this, then take the next step. Now, I will say this. What we are looking for when we're looking for recent graduates is that balance while you were in college. What did you do? What organizations were you connected to? Did you work? Did you take an internship? Do you know any languages? Those are key things that are very important that will also make you unique and stand out too.
Yeah, I think those are great pieces of advice for sure.
Do you have any one golden tip that most people, it's like that little hidden gem that you would give anybody to set themselves apart from anybody else in the interview?
Believe it or not, when you find out the recruiter's name, pull them up on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Pull them up on LinkedIn. See if there's anything that you may know similar. Or when you spark up the conversation, just ask the question. You know, originally, see how you can connect. Some people may think that's rare and that's old-fashioned, but it's not. Because then that breaks down the, I would say, all interviews can be intense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can be very intense. But take the time to at least know who you're dealing with. If you don't personally, you know, you don't have to say, oh, yeah, I see you went to Penn State. Yeah, I have a couple buddies there. We do pig roasts there. No, I'm not saying that, right? But what I am saying is do the homework a little bit on the recruiter so you can have an idea of who you're going to be talking to over the telephone. So when you are on the telephone with the person, it will help you not feel so stressed. And I know you may say, why does that matter? So what if this person is from Chicago and I'm from New York? At least you understand the person, know your winners, right? Okay, so at least you have a little bit about the person.
Right.
So at least it'll give you that tidbit. As far as, that's the only gold nugget I can think of. The rest of them are just basic things and doing your homework and making sure that you understand the position and whether you can see yourself in it and knowing what your number is. Know your number. But that's the basics of it. It's no right or wrong in this process, because it's always going to be practice, and every interview and every opportunity may be different. I've heard people tell me that this interview was very short, or, oh, this interview went an hour. I didn't think it was going to be that long, hour and a half. We all disconnected, because once you get to face-to-face and they feel real comfortable with you, and remember, after you've already did the research on who you're going to be interviewing with, then that's when you can bring the common denominator in. Okay?
That's a great gem. Thank you for that.
And so here in AKSI, we're big on core values. Can you tell us, you know, about a time your personal values were challenged and how you handled that?
Absolutely. Before this opportunity, about maybe two years ago, I was a regional HR manager, and I covered three states for a large property management company. So I was the one-stop shop. Employee relations to me is all the same. Full cycle recruiting, benefits, the whole nine yards, right? And as an HR professional, we have the ethical code to adhere, different policies and procedures, federal, state, all types of laws, right? So I had an executive that wanted to terminate a young lady with no grounds, just because they personally did not like the person. So I went into the president's office, because I was a part of that corporate C-suite. I said, I need to have a conversation with you. He said, absolutely, Elizabeth. I said, now, in this conversation, do you want the politically correct answer or the truth? He said, I want you to give me the truth. I said, I'm not about to catch a case fooling with you. He said, oh, Elizabeth, what do you mean? I said, what you're about to do is about to be unethical. It's going to be a lawsuit because you have no grounds, and this is more personal than anything. How is this personal relationship or who likes who impacting the overall job? He looked at me. He said, I wasn't aware, number one, that was taking place. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. Mm-hmm. I said, absolutely. I said, but he said, number two, I didn't know my leadership was doing that. I said, so that's why I'm having a conversation with you. We need to stop these patterns, because if we don't, it's going to turn to an ugly situation. So that opened up having a conversation with the leadership and giving them the most recent expectations, laws, things that you can and cannot do. Whether it's a state that says at-will employment or not, we still have federal guidelines and laws that you have to adhere to.
Yeah.
How right? did you feel so, walking into that office to have that conversation?
You know what? It was funny, because this was a relationship. At first I said to myself, well, I may lose my job, but that's okay. At the end of the day, all you have is your name and your word. That is one thing I will say that will go further. Am I saying everybody's going to like you? Absolutely not. Some people still wonder, how are you so bubbly? Is there something wrong with her? I don't drink coffee. I can't do tea. You know, I just decided a long time ago that I was going to live my best life, right? And you know what? It takes less muscles. It takes less muscles to crack a smile.
True.
Than it does for me to frown, right? So, in every impact that you have with a person, it's up to you. And I just choose to make it good. Does that mean everyone's going to like me? Absolutely not. I may irritate some people's soul, and that's okay. But does that mean fire me because of that? No. Give me a fair shake. Am I doing the job? Are there areas that I can improve on? I think everybody is always teachable and trainable in everything that we do. No one's perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that is key. And that was one thing that I realized walking in here, I may get fired. I'm challenging an executive. I'm telling the president of the company, this isn't right. He later on moved on and started his own company. But he reached out to me. He was going to come to my wedding. And he said, you know what, the one thing I loved about working with you is that you had no problem coming in my office and telling me, hey, or asking, do I have time, and being honest with me. He said, I've never had somebody tell me before, do you want the politically correct answer?
That's a good way to put that. I'm going to have to use that now.
Absolutely. And he said, and you were honest. And I said, listen. And he said, I could have fired you. I said, you could have. I said, but you didn't. He said, no, I didn't. So you had to decide. You know, that was very challenging for me because, of course, I was engaged. I'm getting ready to get married. My now husband, I know he's probably looking at me when I told him later. He said, what were you thinking? I said, I can always find another job, I can't change my name.
Yep.
It's a very good outlook.
Oh, thank you for sharing that story, because that's really great about reminding us to stand up for it no matter what. Yep.
Yep. Well, ladies, I will say to you, thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk.
Thank you
if
for joining
you've
us.
If you ever had any questions, absolutely. It's always an honor to serve. This is one thing I would say, that one decision I'm glad I made 20 plus years ago was joining Alpha Kappa Psi.
Oh, we love that. Thank you so much. This was a fantastic episode. I mean, I learned a lot myself. I know our listeners did too. So thank you, Elizabeth, for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a wonderful day on purpose. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Business Edge. If you have questions, comments, or topic suggestions for us, email businessedge@aksi.org.